This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Chapter 3. The Prophet's Approach to Nutrition. The Prophet, peace be upon him, recommended a life of balanced eating and drinking. He was indeed the kindest and most considerate of souls. He ate slowly and discouraged excess, in accordance with the Quran. Quoting from the Quran translated, "Eat and drink, but do not be excessive, for God does not love those who are excessive in what they do." The Prophet was noted to have said, "The son of Adam does not fill any vessel worse than his stomach. It is sufficient for the son of Adam to eat a few mouthfuls to keep him going. If he must fill his stomach, then let him fill one third with food, one third with drink, and one third with air." We're talking about wholesome, macrobiotic, and unprocessed food. The Arabic word for such foods is tayyib. We would recognize such foods as close to their natural state and grown locally. In the Quran it says, translated, "O you people, eat from the earth what is halal and tayyib, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan." It was also said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't like to mix food. He preferred to keep his meals simple. Let's form some clues and learn some lessons. Thinking about the trends of today, low-fat foods seem to have little importance in the Prophet's time. Islam makes no mention of trying to strip foods from their natural nutritional components. As for low-calorie foods, well, they're not mentioned either. Though, of course, the technology about knowing calorie values didn't exist back then. What was mentioned was eating less at a sitting, which is different because it is not about choosing low-calorie foods as such. Taken in context with fasting, calorie count is not a part of the tayyib way. Another modern trend is eating little and often, and that definitely wasn't the case. Islam suggests eating together and respecting the occasion as a distinct event. Food is sustenance, and eating it is a marked pivot in one's day. Organic food is quite clearly also present in the Prophet's life. Organic food production takes into account the whole ecosystem and disapproves of waste, using natural feed and methods to raise crops and livestock. That unwasteful approach was definitely present in the Prophet's diet and in the farming methods of the time. As for free range, well, that is part of the halal philosophy. For meat, halal is about the way an animal is treated and lives its life, as much as the way in which it dies. More on this later. As for fair trade, well, that's present as well. Islam demands avoidance of monopolies and other practices which give one undue advantage. The food effectively becomes haram if it is gained by unfair or illicit means. Islam prohibits lending for interest, and if you think about it, lending for interest has been without doubt the most divisive and destructive force on developing countries and farmers since colonial times and before. It was responsible for most of the conquered lands under the colonial powers losing ownership of their farmlands and indeed their crop. Low carbon footprint in the time of the Prophet could be seen obviously not through machinery, but in his preference for simpler local foods that were farmed and seasonal to the region. Exotic foods were available from the Silk Road, which was active at the time, but the Messenger of God ate from such indulgences only on special occasions. We will explore these and other elements of a tayyib life in finer detail as we go on. End of chapter.